Well, there is very little chance you don't know or haven't met a man who's suffering prostate cancer, even if you're not aware of it. One in every six men will experience prostate cancer. For more than 19 years, Lismore's Patrick Coghlan played a significant role in supporting men affected by prostate cancer, even though he himself was diagnosed with the disease in 2001. Patrick lost his battle with cancer last year. Now he's been posthumously awarded with the prestigious Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia Outstanding Contribution Award. His wife, Veronica, will be accepting the award, and she's with me now. Good morning, Veronica. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Good morning, Jo. Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about Patrick, who he was, you know, without cancer and perhaps before cancer. Who was Patrick as a man?
The love of my life. Well, Patrick, here in Lismore, we'd come from Broken Hill and we arrived here with two little children in the mid-80s, and he was a probation officer, probation and parole officer here for quite a long time, really from the mid-80s through till 2001. And he was someone who always exercised, and I'll say that because he loved walking and he loved riding his bicycle. Consequently, we never owned two cars, which was wonderful because he always rode his bike to work here in Lismore. And he was a very hands-on dad with our two daughters. And he really cared about the clients that he had, you know, as a probation officer. That was, I suppose, not so much all of his life, but it gives you some idea of...
Yeah, indeed.
The man that was, you know, part of the community and knew quite a lot.
It's not often that we get to speak to a probation officer, or in this case, the wife of a probation officer. But, you know, tell us a little bit about what that was like, his working life and having those experiences with people. Did he feel that he was able to help in that way, in their lives?
He was, Joe. That was what was, I think, made him a good probation officer, because he actually cared about, and I have to say mostly young men, who needed help and support. And as he would often say, I'm amazed at how wonderful their lives are, even though they're so terrible because of their lack of love and support from their families, you know, from growing up. So he himself reached out to them and treated them, as some of them would say, it's the first time I've ever been treated like a human being. And I think that was his real gift to these people. He was able to reach out to them, care for them, and but be firm. Mm. And very often his reports that had to be taken to the courts, of course, prevented them from going to jail.
Right.
So that they were given a chance to do community work. Mm-hmm. And he would often help them get through those 100 hours because he could see the good side of them. Mm-hmm. And he was an optimistic person, always optimistic. It didn't depress him that people were repeat offenders. They came back again and again, if sometimes. He could always see the good side.
Mm. When did he retire?
Well, in 2001, he had retired. Semi-retired, I suppose, before that. He still was working quite a lot. And when he was diagnosed in 2001 with prostate cancer, well, because of the various treatments that had to go into action straight away, he retired completely.
That started a long journey with him coordinating the prostate cancer support group for the Northern Rivers locally. Was it important to him to be able to continue that sense of service to other people?
Well, yes, it was, Jo. He joined, when he was diagnosed, we immediately called the Cancer Council. And then within 2 days, we had met up with a man called Ivan Icorn. And he and Byron Wilson and several other men had started a group in Austinville, smallish group, in 1999-2000. So there we were in 2001, joining a very small group, and the man dedicated to starting this group, Ivan Eichorn, was very keen to educate the men. And he himself, Ivan Eichorn, was prepared to take a number of different treatments that were on offer just to trial them so that he could give the information to the men. And that's how we got involved in the groups. And immediately Patrick was involved, and within a year or two he became the secretary, you know, taking the notes really. It was a smallish group. And bit by bit, by about 2000, eventually Ivan Eichorn died at only 73, a wonderful man. And Byron Wilson continued on with Patrick as the secretary, and Graham Lester took over as the chairperson. And so Patrick, right from, I suppose, 2002 or so, was involved at the secretarial level. And then eventually, when Graham Lester left the area, Patrick took over as the chairperson. So from 2006, 2007, he had been the convener. Mm. And his concern always was, mm-hmm. you know, to be, support to the men who came to the group.
Every Wednesday night meeting to offer each other support?
It started off, Joe, interestingly, as a day group. They were all older men, and so that suited them, 10 to 12 at the Austinville Bowling Club for 20 years, every third Monday of the month. But in about 2000, and I mightn't be perfectly correct here, but somewhere around 2007-8, there were younger men, and they couldn't come, who were being diagnosed, they couldn't come to the group in the day. They were working. So with the help of Warren Rose and support, Patrick then helped to get a night group established. And so there was the night group, which is at the Workers' Club at Lismore on every first Wednesday of the month from 7 till 9. And so being Patrick, he used to go to both meetings, but he just went as a member just to be there for the night group because the day group was the one that he had was most involved with, but obviously always supported both groups. And so that night group is still going, and the day group, minimally, of course, with COVID, there's been big gaps in the meetings.
Mm. How important has it been to the men who've attended those groups to have other men to talk to about what they're going through?
Well, I'll put it this way. I think what I saw, because, may I say, a lot of women were going initially to the groups with their husbands, and men would come in, and I saw this so often, it brings tears to my eyes, they would just been diagnosed. They knew nothing other than, I've got prostate cancer. And they'd come into the group, and they'd look depressed. They looked anxious, and they were worried, and thought, well, this is the beginning of the end. They'd be there in the group, they would actually see men alive, 5, 10, even 15 years after, who were able to laugh, and because there was quite a lot of camaraderie in the groups, and there they were alive. These men would say, oh, isn't this wonderful? I'm not at the end of my life. This is just the beginning of another phase of my life. And, you know, they would go off, just you could see the spring in their step. So that's what I think has meant, and that's why some men came so regularly. And I only found out last year, there was one couple who'd been coming for 21 years to that group. That man has never had prostate cancer, but he was a friend of the man who started the group, and he came as a support person. And he'd been coming ever since. It sort of meant so much, and some men would only come once or twice. Some come regularly, and it's the sharing of the shared experience, and they listen to each other and tell their stories, and they feel comfortable. And I found that even if they were retelling their stories, there was always something to add, and there was a new person there to listen to it, to give the other people hope. Because initially, Joe, I remember very clearly you know, 18, 19, 20 years ago, there wasn't the internet. There wasn't all of this support and knowledge of what was going on as regards prostate cancer. You know, there'd be some men who'd come, they'd come regularly. Some men would come once. Some would just say, I won't come again. And I remember one just went home and he wouldn't get treatment. He didn't want to do anything. And, of course, the inevitable happened. He died within 6 months. Now, his brother came then to the meeting later on. And because the important thing is this does seem to go in families. And so any member of the family who has an uncle, a father, a brother with prostate cancer needs to be checked out early and regularly from about 40 to 45. But anyway, yes, the group became important from that point of view, you know, and people would listen in the group. It was good for the women too, Jo, because prostate cancer affects the relationship between men and women, between their husbands and wives, between partners, because of the nature of the actual cancer, you know, and it causes erectile dysfunction. And so men so often can feel, I've lost my manhood. And they need their women to say, no, it's more than that. You are more than that. And that, I think, was supported very much in the groups.
Patrick had prostate cancer for 19 years. You lost him in March last year.
Yes.
What does it mean to you now that he's been presented or will be posthumously awarded with this national award?
Well, to tell you the truth, I never even knew there was such a thing. And I think Patrick would have been the same and was taken by surprise. But, you know, I think as my daughters would say, we're so proud of Dad and all that he's done. And obviously the men that he's reached out to over these years, it means a lot to them. It's a bit overwhelming because he just did what he did. And we did what we did to support him. But it is good that he's been recognised. And I suppose more for what the groups have done. Because it's all these other men that kept coming that also are the support group. You know, that's what we must remember. And Patrick was always keen to keep the support group going beyond the support group. When he died, I have a list here of 120 men. And that was a calling list of people who didn't come to the group, but they'd been once or twice or let him know that they had cancer. And so, and I do know that last year I was at a meeting at the end of the year just for a Christmas gathering and one of the men there said, I'm going to miss his call this year. And everyone got a call once every 6 months. So I suppose it's to let everyone know how important it is and how the little things you do by a phone call, just sending a letter, you know, making sure that people get the letters or minutes of the meetings or whatever sent to them to know that there are other people there caring. And I think the award, I suppose, in that context means, look, this is what he meant to so many other men, and we can all do it in a small way ourselves.